way to the world, indeed. The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. So, Tausch, you're concerned about Christian Watson's availability. We talked a lot about Micah Parsons and replacing him, etc. Brian did mention at the tail end there about Evan Williams. We spent some time discussing Zach Tom.
Who's most likely to play of that group?
I would be completely guessing, and it wouldn't even be an educated guess. So they didn't hold anything that even remotely resembled a practice yesterday. It was a walkthrough. None of those three players spoke to reporters, unless you count, you ain't getting a quote from me.
That's great. I wish Zach would have told me that instead of just running out and going hiding in the training room. Just say, you ain't getting anything from me today, bro.
So I don't know. Like, today's a big day, I think, right? They're going to be in shells. They're not obviously practicing in pads on a truncated week. Look, I think Josh Jacobs is going to play. Again, he is soldiering on despite this knee that he told us yesterday. He's got this little contraption. You used to do stim, right? And that was like super, like there were like cords and you had like a remote that you had to hold on to, right? That was connected to the cords to like stimulate your muscle.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
No, you tell me. You're the one who did it.
What, you're telling me?
So I was asking. No, I remember.
I didn't hear a question in there.
Right?
Sure, Jason. Yes.
Oh, that's not what you did. So tell me what stim is and how it worked.
That's really what you're asking me.
Well,
you
I'll
put
explain
four
why.
Pads on your quad or whatever is ailing you, and it's trying to just fire muscles that maybe you're having some inactivity or you're trying to stimulate into pushing some swelling out. So you put like sticky pads, and then there's cords running to them, and you hit a little. Yeah, usually it was in the training room. That's why I couldn't talk to you a bunch. And you just fire it. You can crank up how intense you want it.
Okay.
I loved having it cranked up. It was fun.
Not like electrocution
and
level.
What you could do, not that we ever did this, but you'd mess with people. If people would like acting like they'd be falling asleep, you'd just go and crank it up and give them a little jolt. But that never happened.
Never. No, of course not. So he is wearing this thing. You know how I have a few friends, and we had a couple of players on our basketball teams over the years who battle diabetes, so they have like that little contraption that is glued to their arm. Basically, Josh Jacobs is walking around with this thing on his knee that is constantly firing, trying to get the swelling out and stimulate the blood flow and everything else, right? He would not have practiced had they practiced yesterday. I would be willing to bet.
Do they have a cryo chamber over there? I would bet they do.
I don't know that, much like clearly I don't know what stim is.
No.
He's got.
Tell
he's
me
got,
about stim.
Well, I had a reason for that.
Are we going to get to it at some point?
He also has an infrared sauna that he goes in every
those
day.
Those are nice.
He's trying everything.
Yeah.
And it basically lasts for as long as he gets out there and no one hits him and he doesn't cut hard on that knee that leads to the swelling resuming. He was feeling it on the 40-yard touchdown run. He was feeling it on that ridiculous touchdown catch. He's going to keep feeling it because you know what the doctor has prescribed for this to go away?
Stim.
Rest.
Oh, I thought, when are we getting back to stim? Like at some point, this thing has to fill the circle in.
So I'm so lucky to have you.
You ain't kidding.
I am. Believe me, I am aware. Even in times like these, he is such a vital piece to what they do. Although I know there are some who disagreed with that premise previously.
Jesse, Gabe.
He has to play. He feels a level of responsibility to play.
He's been such a good signing.
He's been fabulous.
He's an old war horse, man. They don't make him like Josh. They don't make many guys like Josh anymore. And to see what he did last week in a tough environment, it would be real easy for old JJ to say, I ain't got it today, man. And he continues to do what it takes to get his butt out on the field, and he's contributing and do it. That's why he's a captain, and that's why he's the leader that he is, because he sets that tone for the entire rest of that locker room, and it matters to him. It matters to him. You could see it. Mm-hmm. And for not being a teammate, I think I've spoken with him once or twice, you just see and you respect his approach. And that's why he's been the pro that he's been for as long as he's been.
If only they had had him and Aaron Jones at the same time. Speaking of Aaron Jones.
You laugh about that. That would have been fun to watch.
I know it would have. Believe me, we were very excited for about a half hour.
And Aaron Jones would have come back for a lot less, too.
Aaron Jones is not involved in Jones Dairy Farm, though. That's a different Jones family.
I haven't asked. I'm sure he's – I guarantee you this. We send him up some of that great bacon. Send him up some of that great bacon, thick cut, cherry wood. And oh my God, if I send him those sausage rolls, where he could make a great holiday meal, I bet he would. I know I am. And Jones Dairy Farm, family owned and operated for 7 generations in Fort Atkinson, all the way back to 1889. And Pablo's in here today. Pablo, can I say that we've done stuff with now from the volleyball team? Is that out?
It is.
It's out. Have we reshared any of that, Jesse? Or are you in the car wash?
Might have been.
We had a great contest, Grace Egan and myself, and we had a ton of fun doing some really fun videos with all of Jones Dairy Farm products. And you know what? Jones products are perfect for the holidays. Smoked hams add so much flavor to the table. And of course, I've told you once, I've told you 100 times, that horchetta that is just rocking the Tauscher household. Find all of Jones products in grocery stores all across Wisconsin. Check the website's product finder at jonesdairyfarm.com.
We will hear something from Matt LaFleur next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright.
Is this a banger? Well, silent night for you as we roll on in the holiday season on Wilde and Tausch. All right, so
we should do a power rankings of our favorite Christmas music.
Royalty free Christmas music? Or are we?
I don't know a ton of royalty free. Like I'm glad this is royalty free. It's a nice song.
It is. It's beautiful. So I asked Matt LaFleur about players stepping up on the Packers defense. It was a precursor to our locker room session with Rashawn Gary, who you'll hear from a little bit later in the program. Here's how Matt LaFleur and I discussed who steps up to overcome the loss of Micah Parsons.
Matt, I think you got 22 snaps out of Lucas Van Ness. What did you think of what he was able to do? What'd you think of what Rashawn did? And how hopeful are you that those guys are ready to rise to the occasion here?
Yeah, I think those guys are willing to put in the work, and they're going to go out there and battle. I thought Van Ness was definitely a boost for us. Just it was great to see him back out there, the energy that he played with. I thought he was running to the ball, running hard to the ball. I thought he was playing pretty well. So hopefully we can continue to amp him up. And, you know, I think it's not going to fall just on one guy. It's on the collective, everybody playing as one, doing their job. And I'm sure, like I said earlier, half will have some wrinkles.
It doesn't fall on one guy, Tausch. But some guys do have to elevate their performances. And namely, guys that play the same position as Micah Parsons. Right?
You would think. Yeah, but if you're looking at it and saying, I need you to be this guy, you're crazy. It's a collective.
Need you to be a better version of yourself than you've been? Would that be fair to ask?
No. I mean, you should be the best version of yourself. And now, if it's an opportunity thing, yes. So that's why I think J.J. Nkbare is going to get more opportunities. Rashawn Gary's not going to get more opportunities. He's a low snap count guy. Is he going to get more? Is he going to play more? I don't know if that's going to help him.
No,
He seems to kind of have a certain rep count that he likes. And do I hope to get more production from him? Yeah, it'd be great. I'm not sure what would make me think I will, because now you don't have to triple team old one. So, I mean, maybe Rashawn will look at it and say, man, I need to. Maybe that'll be the case and it'll just be the fire that lights it. But I'm not sure where or why you would think that. Now, if you want to say Van Ness and JJ, this is more about opportunities that arise for guys than it is about somebody that has played their fill of snaps. Is Micah Parsons made their job easier? The answer is yes.
Yes.
So now you're asking him to be more productive in a tougher environment. Hey, man, everybody responds to challenges in different ways. I hope Rashawn Gary looks at it that way. I'm not going to look at it that way, and I'll be pleasantly surprised if that's the way it shakes out. But I'm looking at J.J. Nkbare as the guy that I think is going to pop here. I think it'll be fun to see. He's going to get tons of opportunities to play. I don't know inside who can kind of jump up and take that next step. Is it going to be Brinson? Is it going to be LVN? I don't know what their plans are for that. But I always look at it from the who hasn't gotten the opportunities that maybe they should have if there was an opening.
Mm-hmm.
Rashawn Gary's not that guy. I'm pretty sure he can stay out there as much as he wants. I don't think they sub him. I think he subs himself out. And I think Nkbare is going to get out there. I think if he can stay healthy, I think you're going to see some flash from him. Because my guess, I don't know how the Bears are looking at it this week. I can guarantee you one thing, they're both of the offensive tackles for the Bears. I ain't going to say it, but they're sleeping a lot better. I don't see one over there like, oh boy. Are they going to slide stuff to Rashawn Gary? Maybe. But I would guess they're going to look at it and say, we're going to be able to do. The plus side of this is the Bears don't necessarily know how Jeff Hafley's going to react with some of the pressure, some of the other stuff.
Right.
That's a plus. But the negative is you also don't have to leave a tight end in the chip. I would bet right now the tight ends for the Bears outside of the tackles are the happiest cats in that camp.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Because, I don't have to thump or stay in and chip and pass block Micah. I actually get to go out and run routes? Huh. That's refreshing. I would guess that's their thought process going into this.
We'll talk to Uncle Homer coming up after I tell you about Lakeland Supply. They have been a great partner. Vince and his team are the best when it comes to packaging and supply chains. It's not an area that I know a lot about, but I'm looking forward to my visit to them after the Packers season ends, and they have been a great partner, and they continue to be. And core values are an important piece of any successful business, and Lakeland Supply is no different. They've been displaying their core values in the industrial supply space for over 40 years. Integrity, excellence, stewardship, partnership, and faith. They're ISO certified, a Future 50 winner, top rated in customer satisfaction, and they believe in giving back to the community. Lakeland isn't one of those catalog companies either. They work to be your packaging and supply expert, building plans around what you want and what you need. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better, so set up that free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Uncle Homer joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
It's nice to be able to say, you know what that music means and actually mean it. You hear him on the Homer Hour every weekday from 5 to 6. I join him three times a week on there. You hear him on the call of Marquette Men's Basketball across the Marquette Basketball Radio Network. And, of course, you catch him on God Talk, My Faith with Homer and Pip on YouTube. He is Steve the Homer True. Homer, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm just going to give you a little tip here, help you out. You know, something you'll do in the off season. It will be the hottest discussion. Was there any benefit to having Micah Parsons on the team this year?
What?
Explain.
Just, yeah, yeah.
Explain what you're saying.
There's no snap.
The defense was no better this year than last year, and he's hurt at the end of the year. The trade still should have been made. There may be benefit in the future. There was absolutely no benefit to having him on the team this year.
I am fascinated by your brain.
This is so obvious. I don't know what's...
You make me think. I'll give you that. You make me think. I guess my question is, if you don't get him, are you significantly worse defensively because you're not able to replicate what you did last year with the same people?
Why do you base that? On what do you base that?
Because teams saw all the stuff you did last year. They have a book on you now. You really think that you'd be able to replicate last year's success without him? That's my question for you, sir.
Yes. I don't know that you've ever brought that up before about any defense or offense when they have the same players. I mean, did you say after last year going into this season, which, of course, no one did, well, I mean, they're talking about, McKinney says they're a Super Bowl team. You can't say you're a Super Bowl team when you admit there's no way the defense can be as good last year.
Well, now, wait a minute. So let's use your...
No.
Stop for a second. Let's use your guy, because year over year, just because you have success one year does not in any way, shape, or form guarantee. What's the old saying about stock performance?
That's the Chiefs.
What about your guy, Edgerrin Cooper? Has he been nearly as impactful this season as he was last season, now that people know what he is and how to block him?
No, how do you know that's it? How do you not know it's because
I don't
of the
know.
Presence
that's
of
my
Micah
point
Parsons.
Is that's exactly the point. Your argument, tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Your argument is because they were good last year without Micah Parsons, they would have been good this year without Micah Parsons.
Well,
and
no,
I just gave you an example of your favorite player
who is not
anything like he was last year in terms of impact.
But what you've left out is the assumption will be with those group and the addition of Micah Parsons, they would have been better, maybe significantly better. And they weren't.
You're twisting this all into a pretzel. You never answered the question about your guy and why you assume that they're...
So he's not as good. Does that mean the defense is going to be significantly worse?
Right, but you were like putting him in the Packer Hall of Fame last year. My point is that if you bring everyone back from last year, they all stay healthy. That doesn't guarantee you to get the same production and the same quality of play. There's no guarantee
of
that.
Of course not, but there's a reason to think it'll be very close unless somebody gets hurt. You have a defensive coordinator. I mean, there's so many reasons to defend.
Homer,
good. You have a defensive coordinator who's not been with the team that many years, but he's getting better each year. That's what happens when you have assistant coaches.
Don't you think that the referendum on what you're saying these next 3 weeks in the playoffs will kind of help you either formulate that plan or say you don't know what the hell you're talking about?
Okay, give me the options of what occur. And how
the defense goes back and we are creating turnovers and Halfley's got all these blitz packages dialed up and we're getting to the quarterback and we're stracking and we're intercepting balls and the defense is just dynamite turning the football over again and we end up going on and either winning a Super Bowl or advancing further than maybe we thought. Then do you have that argument? I could listen to it.
I don't need that. Again, you recognize that you've played an entire season a certain way. Oh, we can just change it the next week and everything will come back. You know that's not the case. You would be saying about the need for adjustment if we were not having this discussion. No, we talk about this all the time. You don't expect, well, they just right away they'll be as good as they were last year. Come on, you wouldn't say that about anybody, any player, any defense.
Oh, no. I would now, hold up a second. Hold up a second. Let's say Micah Parker. Go back to August 27th.
Correct.
I'm anticipating Evan Williams being a lot better. I'm anticipating Edgerrin Cooper being a lot better. I'm expecting Lucas Van Ness to be a lot better. I'm expecting Devontae Wyatt to be a lot better. So I don't know how you could argue that everybody always looks at year one to year two as a big jump and then getting healthy and, you know, all of those things that weren't the case for parts of last year. I was anticipating this defense being better. And then obviously you go pick up Micah, and you anticipate it even being better. And Micah's done.
This was even a more disappointment with Micah than even I thought. If you thought the defense was going to be better before him.
So are you telling me right now, after you know what you know.
Not me.
I didn't say it at all. I'm saying you
said you thought this defense would be so much better without Micah, which means that last year they were. What were they last year? Sixth in points given up. No. So that would mean this year they should
you
have been
just,
one of the top
okay,
five.
Okay, stop.
Teams.
Don't do what I do to you. Don't do what I do to you. Oh. I'm not. That's not what
hard
I'm
to
interested.
Argue with that.
I'm not interested in you putting words in my mouth. I can speak for myself. What I said
you
was.
You just said you expected them to be much better this year than last.
Homer,
year,
I'm gonna
right?
I'm gonna come through that screen. I swear to God, I will. What I said was, there are going to be players that are going to make a jump. I never said anything else. I said. I expected Lucas Van Ness to take a jump, Evan Williams to take a jump, and really Edgerrin Cooper, who last year for part of the season didn't know.
I expected. Okay, just so I make sure I heard you right. Okay.
Yeah, you heard me right.
Okay. Because then I just said I thought you said you expected so that the defense should have been better, and then with Parsons you would think they would have been even better than that, which is way better. Than what they were this year. It just seemed to me you defended my position even stronger than I could.
No, what I said and what the pre-Micah Parsons trade was I still anticipated this defense with another year under Jeff Hafley and the growth of some of these young players that we would be better. That's what I said. And when you look at the stats, things are very similar to last year with the exception of turnovers. So that's why I'm not sitting here telling you your argument's dumb. It makes me think, but I, under any circumstance, and let me be crystal blanking clear to you, I'm still trading for Micah. Micah makes this defense better. He is the field tilter that every defense needs. You put a bullseye, and now whether everybody around him has stepped up the way we anticipated, that is a question that I'm certain we'll look at in the offseason and these next 3 or 4 weeks. For anyone to think that bringing Micah Parsons in has been a downgrade and shouldn't have happened, I can't help you because I couldn't disagree with you more.
What actually did I say?
You said something of the line. I don't know. I'm not in the business of telling
they're
you.
No
you
better
knowing what I say to disagree with it. That's good. That's awesome. I said.
What are you talking
there
about?
Any reason? Was there this? I just want to know what you described. Was there any reason to having Michael Parsons on the team this season? And the answer is no. Now, I still would have made the trade. I'm sure there's going to be a benefit in the future. I'm more than willing to take the gamble. But that doesn't change what has occurred. Just like it doesn't change how difficult it will be for the Packers to win the game, not because the Packers aren't a better team, but because they have so many people hurt. And to not present how difficult it will be is not fair to the team if, in fact, they win the game. Same thing here.
So the 60-some-odd pressures and the 12.5 sacks is moot? Like, it's moot?
Compared to as part of a defense versus last year. God knows how bad they might have been if he wasn't here. I don't know. He did a certain thing. They got significantly fewer turnovers. They didn't make it harder for people to score. So I ask you, what's the value of what he did then? Isn't the value of any defense to stop points? And the value of any offense is to score points. He does all those great things. You give up even a little more points compared to the rest of the league. And you don't create turnovers. What exactly did he do of value?
You are a fast. Again, I go back to where I began. Your brain, I am fascinated by how your brain works. What's because I would have never... What? Would you let me finish?
Homer's I'm trying really, to, he's very feisty
I'm trying
today.
To pay you a compliment. So
yeah, Homer.
Zip it, old man.
Zip it right, like that coat do. You're wearing courtside.
I that you texted that's him about. Have we heard back from the Homer
no,
that
I
isn't
got blocked.
Homer?
No, I was blocked, so I can't send anything
God, that's
else
one of my all-time
to.
Favorite moments on the show, that discovery
I would wear
that you
it tonight,
were
but I'm not close enough that anybody would notice it.
I the way you frame things is incredible to me because the way you have framed this argument, it is very hard to push back on you based on the results that have occurred to this point. Now, I would argue...
Well, and the same thing then, Jason. You could say, well, Jordan Love hasn't done anything different. What has he done? Is it worth it there? Like, you could do that with every player if
right.
your team doesn't have the success that you're looking for. And, even though that individual has completely overshot all other players on your team's production at that spot, Homer could literally say, well, Dwayne Wade didn't win a championship. What the hell was the difference him coming to Marquette? They didn't win anything. So the hell with it. What, it didn't matter if he came. He didn't win a championship.
As a matter of fact,
we got beat by 80 points in the
because,
Final Four, if my memory
on,
serves me.
On.
You could have done that with Frank Costanza. Yeah, George.
No,
it's the same. It's the same argument you're just making. What the
hold
hell difference
on,
does it make? You didn't win. You're not better.
Hold
go
on.
Ahead. Go ahead.
The first year he was at Marquette, he led the team in every statistical value.
They won a championship?
Was there any benefit to having Dwayne Wade on the team? No. Very little,
all right.
While it was very entertaining, because they lost their first NCAA tournament game.
Okay.
Now, no one cares about the statistics. What was important the second year is that he played as well, and there was benefit to it because the team won. Now, if you want to say that in the case of the Packers, that they had nobody, now that they got Parsons because they lost this and this and this and this and this, fine. But, yes, it's... was exactly the same way with Dwayne Wade. His stats were as impressive as Micah Parsons and served
so Homer,
an entertainment value of no value because they didn't win an NCAA tournament.
Okay, so,
yes.
So Homer.
Nice, thanks for the suggestion.
They are 4-0 in the division with Micah being here, and they were 1-5 last year without him. Is that not a value?
Good one.
Or is it doesn't matter, right?
No, that's a value.
Well, I thought you said there was. I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but you said no.
Well, is it a value that they did that? Yes. What was your point? So that they, because they had Micah Parsons, they improved their...
They're beating teams that are better. Last year, we couldn't beat really good teams. This year, we've been able to beat really good teams.
Okay, yeah.
Well, yeah. All right. So, okay. I guess I'm just...
Record's about the same, right?
Yeah, it'll probably end up similar.
All right, can I interject here for a second?
Yeah,
interject?
Ahead.
No,
he's
let me.
He's
let,
done.
Just
he's
a
done
second.
For the year.
Let right.
He can't help
but,
anymore.
But yeah. you acquire field-tilting players like Reggie White with 3 sacks in the Super Bowl for the most critical moments in the season when it is win or go home. You have seen the whole Enter Sandman concept. You have seen him close out games that maybe they don't win without him making a play when he does.
At least 2 games I can count.
And
that's
and if he does that in a playoff game that you win instead of lose, then there is undeniable value in that. Now, you can't predict he's going to tear his ACL in a game in Denver in week, whatever it was, 15. So I understand now that we're playing the results game that he's injured that you're making the argument you are, but that you get these players, so you need your best players to be at their best when their best is required. And he's not going to get a chance to do that because of the injury. So if that's your argument, you're right. They won't be any better off because they won't have the benefit of having one of the best defensive players in all of football available to them in the postseason. But that is when you write your legacy.
And they weren't, and they weren't any better in the regular season as a defense. You can't leave that part out.
You can't just do that based solely on statistics. You can't do that.
Other than points giving up, what would you like? What What do you mean you can't do it on statistics? You talked about that Reggie White team. That Reggie White team became one of the greatest defenses the year they won the Super Bowl. Why? Because Ron Wolf went out and got other players to help Reggie White. Look at all the players they added. Of course you look at statistics. What's the point of Mike? Oh, he got all
right,
these
sacks. Right, but
they're no. The other team scores many points. Who gives a damn? Maybe he wore his helmet right.
Their statistics are similar. They're not vastly different.
They're about the same. Yes. They've been no better. That's what I said.
They would have a worse record. Would they not have? Yes or no? Which we just talked about in terms of him closing out games. Would they have a worse record than they currently have if they didn't have Micah Parsons on their team? Yes or no?
If so, it'd be a very small difference.
We have some news from Matt LaFleur, who is at the podium right now. Homer, you have your Ubering to do.
By the way, I agree totally with Taus on. They need if Watson plays, I believe the Packers can win the game. I believe they're going to win two of their last three games, even if they lose to the Bears. But no Christian Watson. It's too much for Golden, and that will be the difference in winning or losing.
What's the value of having Watson anyway?
I think we saw that.
Ooh.
I would think you would see they score significantly more points. The offense has been a bigger issue.
So now the eye test matters.
Let's check and see how they do with the offense with Watson this year. Somebody look those numbers up, and then you can say, Homer, you were right again.
All right, bye.
I'll go get a car wash again today.
The Packers' point totals in games without Christian Watson. 27, 27, 10. 40, 27, 27. Their point totals with Christian Watson. 35, 13, 7, 27, 23, 31, 28, 26. Now,
sounds about the same.
Are we going to look at the number of points and say Christian Watson has not been a valuable addition? With him coming back? No, of course not. Because there's more to it than just numbers. The eye test does matter. And the eye test mattered when Micah Parsons was on the field as well. All right. That was fun. I enjoyed that. I hope you did as well. So we appreciate Homer every time he joins us. All right. Jesse just sent me the trivia questions for today. We'll play trivia during the 11 o'clock hour. I want to remind you to make sure you tune in to Behind the Bucks on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance and HR and benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks goes behind the scenes with the Bucks. Current one, narrated by the great Marcus Johnson. I met a guy at Sydney's volleyball tournament over the weekend, Todd. He is a huge fan of the show.
Todd.
He has one daughter named Sydney and a son named Marcus. He named them after Sydney Moncrief and Marcus Johnson.
Wow, that's fun.
So I'm sure that he is listening to Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. More Wilde and Taus straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Taus, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Packers coach Matt LaFleur at the podium. I don't know if this is deserving of a breaking news sounder, but I will say, he says Christian Watson is expected to practice today on a limited basis. Per Rob Domofsky, quote, he's improving. We'll just see how he's feeling out there. He's fighting to play. Lucas Van Ness, Dontavian Wicks, also set to practice on a limited basis. The other DNPs, per Rob from yesterday, which would include Josh Jacobs, likely still out. Taus, Does that boost your hopes?
It's awesome news.
Slightly.
Absolutely. No, more than slightly. That means he's more than likely he's going to at least give it a shot unless some setbacks happen. And even if he's not going to be 100%, even if he's out there, the threat that he brings should help everybody else. And if he is 75 or 80% of what he was in Denver, it just boosts morale, but it also boosts the spacing and the efficiency of what this offense can do.
Hopefully Christian Watson will speak after practice. We will be there with coverage of that. We'll get to the 11 o'clock hour here shortly. How much time do we have still to be able to make donations to the virtual toy drive with
December
you and
31st.
Sarah and AmFam?
December 31st. We've still got some work to do. We've chipped away. We've done a nice job, and we appreciate everybody that has jumped in with American Family Insurance to help raise money towards the American Family Children's Hospital through a virtual toy drive. All donations will go towards therapeutic supplies and toys that help thousands of children and families across the country. And American Family Insurance will match every dollar donated all the way up to $50,000 through the end of the year. Visit AmFamKids.org to donate today.
The 11 o'clock hour kicks off in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.